Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for May 22nd, 2017. We'll start our reading with the front page article entitled "Officials Excited for Summer Future" by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Downtown Danville, Inc. Board President Rob Black admits vacant downtown buildings are a challenge. A space that had been used by one business likely won't fit the needs of a new tenant, so work has to be completed on the building, which costs money. Roof and other work also might be needed. Those costs add up, Black said. Finding new tenants also is challenging. But Black and DDI Executive Director Jordan Cundiff said as they promote the downtown more and have events to draw more attention and people downtown, those efforts can then, in turn, attract more potential tenants. And Black, who is a downtown building owner with other partners, recently became DDI's new board president, following Glory Days's Ken Kentrip's term. Black and Cundiff are excited about goals they're working toward for downtown, in addition to upcoming summer events. Hopefully this summer you'll start seeing some things break loose, Black said. Black, who is fourth-generation owner of Blackie's Heating and Cooling, is part owner of the Old Alley Shops buildings at 123 North Vermilion Street. There also have been some new DDI board members in addition to Black. Officers for 2017 are Vice President Heather Pierce with Fatman's Warehouse, Treasurer Aaron Forsyth with Sweet Repeats, and Secretary Ashley Wilzinski with Turk Furniture. Others recently elected to a two-year term were Attorney Mike O'Brien, Phil Solgard with Speedy's Quick Print, Tyler Taylor with Awebeco, Kim Ratcliffe and Back Alley Creations, and Tim Cowan with C2 Engineers. Other board members include Carol Nichols with the Fisher Theater and a city representative. Cundiff said it's cool to have some new blood on the board. We have added five new members, he said. It's really exciting for the board. The board saw a couple retirements this past year. Cundiff said while downtown has lost a couple longtime staples, including Bratland's Prescription Shop and Eva's, there's some really great interest coming in this summer, and hopefully on that end of things some new businesses. He said board members are excited for what it can get done in upcoming years. Cundiff added, a downtown area is like a mall. Stores and small businesses come and go constantly. Buildings seeing some work being done to them include the Old Alley Shops buildings at 123 North Vermilion Street, south of DC Fitness, where a photography business could locate, and the Dale Building at Vermilion and North Streets, where building owner Peter Blockman is working on opening a bar. Blockman, who also is one of the partners with Black as owners of 123 North Vermilion Street, said demolition work has occurred. The business that is potentially going in is a very far cry from announcing anything, Blockman said. Blackman also reported work is moving along, too, on the bar that he and his partners plan to open across from Temple Plaza in the Dale Building. We are admittedly a little bit further behind than we wanted to be, he said. They've received the city's approval on the architectural plans, he said, adding that they spent a lot of time with the architect for thorough plans. Permits will be pulled and work will start, including painting and other renovations. They're still hopeful the bar will be open this summer. Cundiff said DDI continues to try to help building owners and businesses with grants with awnings and other work such as roofs. The grants can help reimburse costs up to a certain percentage. City officials also are moving through the process of setting up a downtown tax increment financing district to help with building renovations and development. With new businesses coming in, such as the more recent Mobile 91 that moved into the former Urban Hair Archery space, new building owner Dale Gentrop did roof and other work on the building, Cundiff said. Cundiff said DDI has a grant budget now and can possibly help 3 to 4 businesses a year. He said DDI also assisted Cafe 13 with some roof work, and a couple buildings owned by Matt Long will see improvements, including roof work on Long's North Street buildings and awnings. DDI assisted Cafe 13, attorney Mike O'Brien and East Central Illinois Community Action Agency, with awnings last year, according to Cundiff. Awnings can see up to 75% reimbursement. He said there remains interest from people and businesses locating downtown. Cundiff added DDI has a new website to provide information. Black said Ken Gentrop and Cundiff deserve the credit for turning things around with DDI, such as making sure there's money for up to $2,500 in grants for businesses and building owners to improve the building stock. The grants help building owners' money go further, he added. As a building owner, rents don't always justify their renovations. He said DDI would love to attract more restaurants and retail business as opposed to more offices. The traffic also needs to be here, he said. Black said the public is invited to attend DDI board meetings to make comments and provide input. Board members meet at noon on the last Tuesday of the month at the DDI office, 149 North Vermilion Street. DDI goals remain to fill vacancies, improve the reputation of the organization, and attract people downtown, such as with events, according to Black. Black said the summer concerts have been successful in covering their own expenses and attracting big crowds when the weather cooperates. Our next article is entitled Committee to Consider Downtown TIF District by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Ordinances to create a downtown tax increment financing district will come before members of the City Council's Public Services Committee this week. Committee members will consider approving a TIF district that includes 237 parcels in the designated area. Tricia Marino Ruffalo, with consultant Ellers and Associates, talked about the proposed TIF district last week at a public meeting. It's not been subject to growth and development, she said about the downtown area. She said the equalized assessment valuation of properties in the area has declined about 25% from 2010 to 2015. There are a high amount of vacant and underutilized properties and parcels on the tax rolls that do not produce income. The redevelopment project area is generally bounded by Seminary Street on the north, Main on the south, Washington Street on the east, and Franklin Street on the west. It is adjacent to the Midtown TIF on the north and the Western Gateway TIF on the south. The redevelopment plan and redevelopment project objectives are to reduce or eliminate blighting conditions, to enhance the real estate and sales tax base of the city and other affected taxing districts by encouraging private investment in commercial, industrial, and recreational development within the redevelopment project area, and to preserve and enhance the value of properties, according to a city notice on the proposed TIF district. City officials see some of the initial focus of the TIF district being on more facade grants and grants to assist in converting upper-story spaces into residential living units. Tax increment financing is a public financing tool that does not raise property taxes but is used to assist economic development projects by capturing the projected increase in the property tax revenue stream to be created by the increase of the assessed value of the development or development area and investing those funds in improvements associated with the project, according to the city. TIF districts allow for a redistribution of a portion of property taxes to programs that will encourage new development and/or the revitalization of existing development without raising existing taxes or creating new taxes. When a TIF district is established, a base value of property within the TIF district is established. The property taxes created from increases in the property values over this base, the tax increment, will be allocated to eligible projects within the TIF district. Local real estate broker Nate Byram thinks the TIF might encourage people to buy more buildings downtown. It would make it more attractive to purchase, Byram said. If someone was interested in buying a building that needed a lot of work, the TIF district can help spread out those costs over time instead of having a lot come out of pocket right at the start, he said. Byram has part ownership in a downtown building on Walnut Street that houses Tower Loan, north of the Danville Township building. Two of his property listings, owned by other people, are the former Danville Area Community College Extension building downtown that had housed Oxner Properties at 37 North Vermilion Street, and also the building that formerly housed a nail salon in the 100 block of North Vermilion Street. He said both of those two vacant buildings need work. The former nail salon has a pretty bad roof and has been vacant for 6 months. The building at 37 North Vermilion Street is in decent shape, with its first floor ready to move into. The second and third floors need work, he said. It's got a bad elevator, Byram also said, adding that it's really a cool building and it'd be great for something to go in there and create more tax revenue for the local taxing bodies. The TIF district can help someone fix up the property, possibly for multiple uses, he said. TIF provides some interesting alternatives for them to fund improvements over many years, he said, versus a loan for building owners. Also Tuesday, committee members will consider approving budget amendments, including a $16,400 increase from the city's general fund reserve for Ameren Gas and a $10,000 salary increase in the Information Technology Division budget due to retirement of the police officer who handled the computers and telephones at the public safety building for the police division and an intern needed to assist with day-to-day city activities. Danville Mass Transit provided funding for the cost of the intern. Authorizing a $5,000 end-of-year loan to the Danville Area Transportation Study. Funds will be paid back when the state releases more funding. Authorizing actuarial services with Lauterbach and Ammon, LLP, for a fee of $13,750 the first year and $9,500 the second year. Participation by elected officials in the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. Our next article is entitled Arena to See Roof Repairs, Summer Activities to Fill Arena Downtown, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Back in January, the first day of the county basketball tournament saw water dripping right on the court from the David S. Palmer Arena's leaking roof. The tournament had to change its schedule. It was inconvenient for them and impacted our bottom line, said arena manager Peter Blackman. Quite a bit of money also was spent on sprucing up the arena prior to Dick Van Dyke's appearance last year, such as replacing ceiling tiles on the northeast corner of the building and hoping it wouldn't rain a lot during his visit, according to Blackman. If you look at these ceiling tiles today, Blackman said, you wouldn't know they were replaced last year. Getting the roof done is going to be a cost savings for us, he said. It will secure the shell of the building. State funding recently has been released for the arena for building maintenance projects, with the roof being the top priority. Julius W. Hegeler II also has bequeathed $3 million to the arena for a new ice machine and other improvements, including a new ice center entrance, likely on the building's southwest corner. Arena officials hope the roof work starts in June. The area over the arena and in the northwest and northeast corners will see a brand new roof. There also will be repairs completed to the south portion of the arena's roof. The remainder of the $850,000 in state money will then be looked at for additional renovations and upgrades. The arena also is expected to see a busy summer. Upcoming events at the arena include a day and a night of magic on June 10th, which Blackman describes as an event featuring very cool magicians. The event will feature the Midwest's most talented street magicians, Luca, John Sterk, Keelan Wendorf, and more, in addition to local speed painter and mentalist John Jansky. The evening performance will have world-renowned illusionist Riza performing his show Edge of Illusion. "I'm kind of excited. We haven't had a stage magic show," Blackman said. "Tickets are $15 to $25.99. On June 17th, local musicians Rich Treadway has been planning the Slang Music Fest. Tickets are $12 or $20 the day of the show that will run from 2 p.m. to midnight. The all-age event will have local bands and some touring acts. Blockman also is involved with the first gig rock and roll camp at Danville Area Community College, which is for youths aged 10 to 17, runs from June 19th to the 24th, and has registration open, and the Art Beat Musical Festival in downtown Danville. The traditional Art Beat Music Week is being shortened from 6 days to 4 days. The event will run June 21st to the 24th. The concerts usually start at 6 p.m. "We're doing each day an event within an event," Blockman said. "The first 2 days of the festival will be at Craig's Park, and final 2 days at Temple Plaza. The first night on June 21st will feature the band Superbad. The Art Beat Musical Festival's first night also will incorporate and launch a partnership with Danville Area Community College for a business after-hours event. Hosts also will be Old National Bank and ServPro. DAC may continue the business after-hours, such has been done with the Chamber in the past every month. June 22nd will see a brand new event for the Art Beat Music Festival called the Loud 100. The event is borrowing the idea from a video that went viral of 1,000 musicians gathered in Italy all playing one Foo Fighters song together. The Loud 100 will assemble as many singers, guitarists, bass players, and drummers in downtown Danville for what will be the biggest jam that this area has ever seen. The Loud 100 is free for both participants and spectators. There also will be a performance by speed painter John Jansky. Live music following the Loud 100 will feature First Gig Rock, enroll camp instructors, and more. "Our goal is to have 100 musicians at Craig's Park all playing the same songs or song together for a recording video shoot," Blackman said. "We'll do this all-musician jam." He said all musicians are invited to attend. June 23rd's Art Beat concert will intersect with Summer Sounds, and June 24th's concert will have First Gig Rock Camp's graduation and two more bands. The following week, starting June 26th, there will be the First Gig Rock and Roll Camp Superstars for special needs children. "It was very successful last year. This is the second year for it," Blackman said. The arena also will see a summer full of basketball programming with Coach John Spezia and also the Dust Bowl tournament. The arena will host the return of the program formerly titled Lose the Training Wheels Camp, now being called I Can Bike, the week of August 6th. "We're bringing back that stuff after a 5-year hiatus," Blackman said. He said they'd like to have the bicycle camp every other year, which would allow time to build back up as a student base. Next, we'll turn to obituaries. The first is for Charlene Ray Brewer, 62, of Danville, went home to be with the Lord on Thursday, May 18, 2017, at her daughter's home from complications of breast cancer. Visitation will be on Monday, May 22nd, at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville, from 4 to 7 p.m. Services will be at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, May 23rd, at Pape's, with Pastor William Wiggins officiating. Following services, Charlene will be laid to rest at Spring Hill Cemetery. Matthew John Carpenter, 39, of Rossville, formerly of Danville, passed away at 4:58 p.m. on Thursday, May 18, 2017. Celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. on Monday, May 22nd, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Drew Menster will be officiating. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park, with military rites accorded by American Legion Post 210. Visitation will be held Monday, May 22nd, from noon to 2 p.m. at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to Midwest Veterans Association, Post Office Box 238, Bismarck, Illinois, 61814. Evelyn Yarazinski Hansen, a lifelong resident of Danville, passed away peacefully May 12, 2017, at age 91. The family is dedicating a Mass for Evelyn June 10th at 5 p.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church of Danville. Rodney Duane Crosby, 22, of Danville, transitioned from this life at 10:01 p.m. Saturday, May 13, 2017, surrounded by his family. A celebration of life will commence at 12 noon Tuesday, May 23rd, at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. until the time of the service. Officiating, Pastor David Moore. Viewing will be from 1 to 5 p.m. Monday, May 22nd, at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams. Cremation will follow. Charlene K. Cunningham, 75, of Perrysville, Indiana, passed away at 10:20 a.m. May 16, 2017, at Colonial Manor Nursing Home in Danville. Per her wishes, she will be cremated. A memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday, May 23rd, at Trinity Lutheran Church, 824 East Main Street, Danville, with visitation 1 hour prior. Burial will immediately follow the service at Lutheran Cemetery on Texas Avenue in Danville. Holly Jean Ludwig passed away peacefully at home with his loving family on Friday, May 12, 2017. A celebration of his life will be at 2 p.m. Saturday, May 27, 2017, at Carol Lair Funeral Home, 1910 East Tyler Street, Athens, Texas. James Thompson Oakwood, 66, died at 1:50 a.m. Friday, May 12, 2017, at home. A celebration of life will be held from 2 to 4 p.m. on June 10th at Pollywogs Association Clubhouse, 16105 920 East Oakwood. Rortvedt Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street, Tilton, is in charge of arrangements. Our next article is titled Community Health Fair Offers Food and Booths. Staff report out of Danville. To commemorate Community Action Month, East Central Illinois Community Action Agency will host a community health fair and outreach day from 3 to 6 p.m. Thursday at David S. Palmer Arena. Last year, more than 450 families attended. The purpose of the event is to raise awareness of the importance of health and wellness, to provide information regarding vital services offered from local human and social organizations, and to celebrate the positive impact community action has on the communities it serves. Highlights for this block party style event include educational and interactive healthcare and wellness activities and screenings, local human and social service organizations' informational booths, interactive children's activities, games, and prizes, including a petting zoo and bubble art, local dignitaries and community leaders in attendance, music, free food, and local food vendors. The event is no cost and the public is encouraged to attend. There is still space available for health care providers and human social service organizations that are interested in participating in the event. Contact Tori Brigham, CSBG Family Advocate, at 554-9114 or via email at specialevents@comaction.org. East Central Illinois Community Action Agency responds to the social and economic needs of individuals, families, and communities in Ford, Iroquois, and Vermilion counties. The mission of East Central Illinois Community Action Agency is to provide information, training, education, and other services that engage and empower families and communities to become self-sufficient. And now here's a sports article, Prep Football, Danville Native Forest Hired, by Anthony Zillis, Danville. The decision to apply for the head football coaching job at Danville wasn't immediate for longtime assistant Marcus Forrest, but a few days after former coach and current athletic director B.J. Luke broke the news to the coaching staff that he was stepping down, Forrest decided to pursue the position. "When he told us he was stepping away, it was kind of sad," Forrest said. "You don't expect it. After that time, I didn't say, hey, I'm going to be the one to take over. I spent the weekend thinking about it, praying about it. He told us about it on Friday, and I talked to him about it on Tuesday, and from that point, I was all in." Despite his 10 years as an assistant on Luke's staff, the hiring process wasn't simple for the Danville native, but Sunday he was announced as the newest head coach. "I got grilled during the process," Forrest said. "You're filling the shoes of a Hall of Fame coach." Forrest lived his entire life in Danville up to his sophomore year in 1992. He went on to play football for 2 years at Vanderbilt and graduated from the school before eventually finding his way back to Danville in 2008. His connection to the town had no small part in both his desire to take the head coach job and the administration's desire to give it to him. "Coming home, this is always where my heart was," Forrest said. "So to have the opportunity to be a part of a team that I idolized, the process in itself has really been exciting, exciting at times, stressful at times. My love and my passion for where I'm from, I think it spoke volumes for them. It spoke volumes for me." Forrest takes over a program that had a comeback season a year ago, going 8-3 and winning a Class A 6A playoff game after missing the postseason for the previous four seasons. The Vikings made the playoffs the 6 year prior mark under Luke, making the state semifinals twice. "I'm extremely excited, elated, happy," Forrest said. "I can't wait, just because of the fact that I've been born and raised in Danville." Trucker Cited After Accident, by Tim Mitchell, Danville. A Kentucky man has been ticketed in connection with a crash that left livestock wandering around Interstate 74 on Saturday afternoon. According to a state police report issued Sunday, Robbie L. Miller, 46, of Flemingsburg, Kentucky, was driving a 1999 Freightliner and livestock semi-trailer loaded with cattle west on I-74 at milepost 210 in West Danville at 3:32 p.m. on Saturday when he lost control of the vehicle, which left the roadway into the median and then overturned on the driver's side. Miller was taken to an area hospital where he was treated and released and was cited for improper lane usage. This has been Dee reading the Vermilion County News for May 22, 2017. I hope you have a really good day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.